Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blake's Take. My name is Blake Hampton. Thanks for tuning in on however you decided to find this podcast. I'm going to be honest, I'm not really sure where this is about to go. This is going to be all about Southampton, but I don't know if this is going to be once a week, once a month, once a year. This could be an absolute train wreck, or it could be wonderful. I'm sure it's going to be somewhere in between all of that, but go ahead and give me your feedback. Let me know if you guys like it. Let me know what you guys think I should change, what I should mix up. But hopefully you guys enjoy this very first episode of Blake's Take. And I think it is my obligation to talk about Virgil van Dijk. And before you turn off the podcast because you are fatigued with this topic, I hope I can bring to light maybe a few more interesting things regarding this entire situation. Now, it can be a conversation on what I think he's going to end up doing and what I think where he's going to end up being at the end of this. But I think there are far more interesting discussions to be had about the entire saga that is involved in this, and that is the future of football transfer power structures. And a lot of people seem to be under the impression that the player has a little more power than the club itself. Now think about that. The player has more power than its employer. And when you take a look at the other sports around the world, and here in the United States, I am from the United States, I don't think that's any surprise, but when you are under contract as a player, it's almost impossible to break out of that contract. It is. You see guys forcing trades, and it is almost impossible for them to do. And so the fact that footballers can get out of this contract as easily as they can, it's shocking to me, and it's baffling, and I think it's something that needs to be looked into by FIFA, and that is going to be essential. But for now, with that being in place, the power structure remains to be whether the footballer can get away from the actual employer, and that's what we're looking at here. So all of the world of football is currently looking at this situation and saying, how is this going to end up? Because this could decide the future for a lot of different people, and this could spark a domino effect within the football community. So let's say that Van Dijk ends up getting his wishes. That's going to put in the minds of all these other players that think that they want to force a move in the future, I can do this and it's going to work. And that's going to tilt the scale of power so that the player does have more power than the actual employer. And that's going to be so important for the future. But if Southampton end up digging in and saying, no, you are under contract, you are not going anywhere, and we don't even care if you decide to play or not, you are going to be a Southampton player. Now, that's an interesting discussion, because what is going to end up happening is the club is going to get back the power, and then the whole scale is going to tilt back to that side for all these transfers, and all of a sudden you're going to see all these teams refusing to give up their players, and that's going to make for a very interesting transfer market going forward. So when you're looking at this from more of an outside view of just ours, it is a very interesting discussion, and it is something that can be looked into for an entire widespread of football. But narrowing that down a little bit more to our own particular interest, whether it's more beneficial for us to keep him or more beneficial for us to let him go. Now, there's two different things that we need to look at, because when you are looking at this from a business standpoint instead of an emotional standpoint, you need to make sure that you are doing the right thing for your club. And when you are putting a valuation on a player and how much you are determining that you need to get back for your star player, I think there is something a little more different than that meets the eye. It's not really the market value of the player that's going to determine how much we should be bringing back in. Van Dijk is an amazing player. And if we're asking 60 to 70 million pounds, which has been reported all over the place, I know there's been a lot of people throwing out the 75 million pound number, but I think it's going to be somewhere between 60 and 70 million pounds. And if we decide that we're going to sell him for that amount, what we need to look into is, are we going to be able to bring in the proper transfers with that type of funding to With the 60 million pound, can we dip into the transfer market and bring back players that will put us at the same level as we are now with him? Do you get what I'm saying? Are we going to be able to take that money and bring back players that will put us at the same level with him or even above that? And I think we can, but it's starting to get a little tricky because with our wage structure, are we going to be able to bring in these 30 million pound players? Because I don't think we can. And if we're doing that and we're just investing in all these 15 to 20 million pound players, is that really going to put us in the right direction? Like, what's the difference between those players and the ones we have? You see what I'm saying there? So if we invest in more players, sure, we can get some depth and we may get some hidden gems here and there. But if we're just taking some stabs at some players and they don't end up working out, then we're really just moving sideways instead of forward. And so when you're looking at that from a perspective of, are we going to get back as much as we are giving away? I don't know that you can confidently say yes on that. And so if we implemented Van Dijk back into our lineup, I think that would be a very interesting thing to witness, because the minute that he gets on the field, you know everyone's going to start booing him. And he's gone on strike before. I don't think he would not do it again. I think he would be perfectly fine with sitting out for a little bit, especially with his agent. His agent seems to be kind of the whisper in his ear the whole time of what he should be doing. And that's going to be a little bit of an issue going forward. And if we keep him in the squad, you don't know how, if he's going to be in the ears of other players as well. Because I don't know if you've been in a setting where you have someone that really, really hates where they are, but eventually what happens is if they keep talking about how much they dislike it, it's pretty infectious. And that's where you get to the point if we should get rid of him, because there comes a point when a player can be so disruptive in the locker room without actually being vocal about it. And that's going to be so essential if we end up keeping him, is making sure that he's not in the ears of these other players, bringing this negative vibe. Mauricio Pellegrino is a very positive, upbeat manager, and he is attempting to create a synergy in the locker room unlike we have had in the past. And if you have a player that just genuinely does not want to be there, and he's in the ears of other players saying, man, I hate it. I don't want to be here. I want to be over Liverpool. We're playing them next week. I may just tag along with them when we leave. Like, what kind of message does that send to the rest of the team? And what type of vibe does that give that you have your captain that doesn't even want to be there? What is that supposed to tell the rest of the team? And so, knowing that he is going to be that type of player and getting in the ears of these players, and we could potentially get a record transfer fee from a defender, it could make sense to let him go. It could make sense to let him go. But then that brings us back to the other point. Are we going to continue being a selling club? Are we going to give the satisfaction to Liverpool again? Are we going to send a message to the rest of our players? Yeah, if you go on strike, we'll let you go eventually. It's going to be a good fight. We're going to give it our all. I promise you that it's not going to be a good time, but eventually we'll let you go. What type of message is that sending to your players and to the fans of the players? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not really sure what's going to end up happening. And I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen. I don't think Van Dijk knows what's going to happen. I don't think the board knows what's going to happen. I don't think Liverpool knows what's going to happen. And at the end of the day, you can throw out all these speculations that can happen, but I think this is a very fluid type of transfer that's in the works, because any wrong move by Liverpool, any wrong move by us, by Van Dijk, could end up swaying it one way or the other, and it's going to be a minute by minute process. And so when you see this development start to unfold, there's going to be a whole heck of a lot behind the scenes that's happening, and we're not going to know a damn thing about it until the final report comes out. So do I have an answer? Do I know which way is going to be the better way to go, whether to get rid of him or whether to keep him? I honestly don't know. But I do know that if you want to look at it in a positive nature, we're in a win-win scenario. We're in a very, win-win situation. Because at the end of the day, the only group that can lose from this is Liverpool. Because we can either keep a star player or we can get a lot of money. And that should make you happy that we have the cards for once. We hold them in our hands and we can do whatever we want with them. And we can play them however we want. That doesn't mean we won't make the wrong move, but it means that we have a whole heck of a lot better chance that we do make it. Now, Mauricio Pellegrino. I'm going to be honest, I really don't know too much about him, and I'm not going to pretend like I do. He's saying all the right things in all of his press conferences, and I really can't tell what type of influence he's making out of the pitch right now. I am recording this right after we just lost 4-0 in a friendly, and I don't think you can make too many conclusions from that. For me, it was just a bad game at a bad time. And I think that's the most you can make out of that. But what Pellegrino is doing and what I am seeing from all of his interviews is an aspect of the game that a lot of people don't like honing into and a lot of people don't like talking about because they don't really understand it. And it's not something that you can necessarily see from a statistical point. Football has become a game of analytics and it has become a game of numbers and math. And a lot of people dive into the analytics in a way that we don't really understand, in a way that really makes the game a lot more advanced. But the way that Pellegrino looks at the game is he's looking at it from a psychological standpoint. And so what he's doing is he's creating this synergy within the team. He's allowing them to build this team chemistry on and off the pitch. And that's going to be really important for a team like Southampton. Because knowing where everyone's going to be at all times, knowing what your formation setup's going to be, knowing each other in a way where it's going to be just automatic for when the whistle blows and it's time for you to play. There is something to that that obviously isn't shown by statistics. Pellegrino's a smart man. He understands that we're not going to beat people based off talent alone. A brilliant tactical mindset, of course, is going to be able to beat a team, but you also need something else. Football is a game based on very small margins. Any wrong move, any wrong step can lead to the other team winning. It can be a single mental mistake. And Pellegrino is trying to implement that in their head. If you are going to allow this one simple mistake, it is going to be very costly. I mean, how many goals have you seen allowed in the last 15, 20 minutes of a game? The answer is a lot. And when you look at it from a statistical standpoint, it's over 30%. It's over 30% of all goals in the Premier League were after the 65-minute mark, 65 to 70-minute mark. And that's going to be important because when you are training these players mentally as well as physically, you're going to allow them to sustain their confidence and their mental toughness over an entire span of football. Because all these players can run around for 90 minutes. I don't think that's an issue. If you had a player who you were questioning whether he could be out on the pitch for 90 minutes, he's not going to be on the squad for that long. And if you have players out there who can't last 90 minutes, you should probably get them out of there. And you should probably change the way that you train. What's going to end up fatiguing with these players is their mental toughness and their attitude and their work rate and all these other things. And that's what Pellegrino's really trying to teach them. And all these players, Ward-Prowse, Bufal, Gabbiadini, you see them in these interviews. And one of the first things they say about their preseason training is how hard it is, how tough it is. Because these players aren't used to that. They're obviously being ran to the ground because of conditioning. But not only is it just conditioning, but they're learning to hang out with each other outside of the field. They're learning how to bond in a way that they are not used to and a way that is very difficult to make happen. And that's going to be important. And for the success of our team, to see us reach that potential that I think that we can possibly get to, it is going to require our team to figure out that chemistry and be able to implement that out on the pitch. And I don't think we've seen that yet. I think it's still a work in progress. And honestly, I think it's going to be out until like January, February before we start seeing what our football team is really going to look like. And that's going to be interesting for our particular fan base because we're not the most patient bunch in the world. I'll tell you what. I think I looked on Twitter the other day and people, and by the other day, I mean just about 5-10 minutes ago, and people were cheering for Pellegrino to leave. Pellegrino out is already a thing. That's not a very good sample size of Pellegrino. He has had, what, 3 preseason games now? 3 to 4 preseason games? People are already asking for him out. That's tough. That's a tough life. And when your style is going to take months for a team to get used to, it could be an interesting first half of the season. Now, he got lucky a little bit because I don't know if you've seen our first 10 fixtures. They are very easy. And I think that's going to be a really big standpoint for where we are and what our fan base thinks of him. Is those first 10 games, I think we can come away with 20 plus points in them. I really do. And if we come away with a less point total than that, and we're coming away with a less point total than our fan base anticipates, are we really going to give him that time and really allow him to create the team that he really envisions? Because once you start having that pressure in your head, you're wanting to speed things along and you're not going at that comfortable rate that you usually would. And for you to properly implement this style of play where you are wanting it to be a lot more of a mental game than a physical game, you can't speed that up. You can't just speed up that type of progress, because when you start getting into the mental magnitude of these players and start to try to speed that up, you're forcing them to do something they're not too familiar with. And that's not going to end up good. So I think that this season has the potential of going one of two ways with Pellegrino as our manager. We can put our full support in him and then trust him throughout the entire season, good or bad. Because honestly, I think that our talent level is there that we are not going to get relegated. I don't think we have a shot at it. I don't think we're even going to come close to it, to be quite honest. Not even a little bit. But I do think that we have the potential to be a much lower table team, especially with Van Dijk gone and with our lack of transfers. We pretty much have the same squad as we did last year. And at times that didn't look very good. But if we are patient with him and we allow him to do what we imagine them to do and the players buy into that system, I think that we do have the talent to be a European contending squad. And that's important because if we keep that in our head, that we have the talent to be there and we allow and be patient with this manager to create this type of synergy that we imagine, it's going to be a beautiful game of football. I can guarantee you that. But if you don't give him the time and you don't be patient with this manager, it's going to collapse, and it's going to be a very rough season. I can get it.